And then also, it is not something good that we always tell something having a vision of, or true vision of the ghost. So I'll tell something very positive now. So there's one saintly master called Tanglung Shabdrung Rinpoche. So he was imprisoned by the Chinese for about 18 years or so. So he suffered a great deal in the prison. He eventually then escaped to India. So Dingo Khinzu Rinpoche, he thought of receiving teachings from Tawung Shabdrung Rinpoche. So Dingo Khinzu Rinpoche, when he was actually listening to the transmissions, the old transmissions from Tawung Shabdrung Rinpoche, so Shabdrung Rinpoche then revealed this fact to His Holiness that one day when he was giving the oral transmission to Dingo Khinzu Rinpoche, so right there in the front beam of the roof, he saw all the gurus in the lineage of that very transmission, that very teaching. Which he is conferring the transmission of to Dingo Khinzu Rinpoche. And Tawung Shabdrung Rinpoche, actually he's something very, his nature is something very straightforward, not at all deceptive. So as such, we see that there are things whereby someone can have a miraculous appearance or vision of some deities and so forth. So, back to our main point, so we can see the animals close by, animal realm, and then the hungry ghost realm also. There are people who have actually seen these things. And then if you could really reflect on the very evidently seen animals, so we reflect on the suffering nature of these. So it's something very terrible, actually, the pains that they are undergoing. And basically, we see now the problem with the animals is they being ignorant of the awareness, they being the ignorant of the reality, the outside world, and so forth. So if you take the butterflies, so when they come out from the cocoon, they have no awareness as to what kind of enemy, what kind of the problems they're going to face, or where too they should go for feeding themselves and so forth. So they are absolutely without any protection, absolutely without the conducive things for the living. So once I noticed two cattle who were being betrayed, were being led to go on their own. So when they were young, they were being led to work so hard by the owners, and then after they become old, they were being go astray without getting proper food and so forth, suffering so much. And then if you think about the pigs, fish, and so forth, so the human beings, they simply consider themselves, these animals, as nothing other than some inanimate objects. So then imagine the sense of fear, the sense of fear that they have, that they generate. And then until they death, definitely they would have a sense of attachment, sense of all the negative emotions. Yet no the virtuous the mental states would arise in them, with the only exception that if they could see some kind of holy persons, that they would then generate virtuous mental states. So it is said that once you take birth in the lower realms, so it is the case that you are then going to take birth from the lower to the lower state all the time, and no chance would be there that you're going to take birth, you move from the lower state to the higher birth. So it is a very common saying that because of your previous virtuous actions and your success, you have obtained this marvelous bhikshu body or the bhikshu birth, and now this bhikshu, you shouldn't actually throw this person or let this person go astray in the next life. So this is something very true. So if you take birth in the animal realm, so it is the case that you only strive to work for yourself to survive. That is the only thing that you will look for, and nothing of the kind to generate virtuous actions and virtuous mental states as a preparation for the next life. And then if you reflect on the helping realms, the helping of the hot hell, the cold hell, so again, they are so terrible. And then we have to reflect on the various causes, the karmas as the causes for one to be propelled to be taking birth in the lower realms. Say like the action, negative action of killing, negative action of stealing, sexual misconduct, and so forth. So the greatest, the most intensive negative actions of this kind will lead one to take birth in the hell realm, and the middle will take birth and let one take birth in the hungry ghost realm, and the least one to the animal realm. So, for example, I'll take the example of killing an animal or insects. So although we tend to have we tend to generate a sense of compassion or refraining from killing the insects, but the thing is that at times when you are being bitten by mosquitoes, and if it so happens that you are meditating on compassion and so forth, so there this meditation on the compassion may help you carries the insect and not kill the insect. But there would be the first time. And when you encounter with the second bite from the mosquito, then you will become more agitated. And then still worse would be that when you are having sound sleep, and if your sleep is being disturbed by the bite of the mosquito, there will be definitely with the worst thing, and that very likelihood would be that you will kill the mosquito. And we have been constantly engaging in accumulating the negative karmas. So it is said in the 400 stanzas by Aryadeva that the sentient beings, the greatest amount of the actions that the sentient beings accumulate is the negative action. As such, it entails or tells us that most of the sentient beings, they will take birth in the lower realm. Thinking about the happiness and suffering of the two possible states of birth to which you will proceed in the next world. We finish this part. So, in the Buddhist parlance, the source of refuge. So you may want to ask, what would be the sources of refuge in the Buddhist parlance? So basically, the things that all the traditions, all the spiritual faiths, they have their own specific source of refuge. So the source of refuge would be something, a source to which you rely upon when you encounter some difficult stage or difficult situation. So this would be the very basis from which reliance upon some ultimate resource for our happiness or protection come about. So, for example, in the night, we tend to have a sense of uneasiness, a sense of being protectionlessness. And so as such, during the daytime, because of the sun, that kind of uneasiness is dispelled. So some people, they then start thinking that, oh, the sun is actually the one which gives protection to us from the night, from the darkness, the fear of darkness. As such, they go for refuge in the sun. So we see that there are various groups of people who tend to take refuge in the sun and so forth, depending on the kind of context that they feel. And various from the Buddhist tradition, we don't speak about a creator upon which to which we take refuge in, but it speaks about the dependent origination of everything. So the suffering and the experience of suffering and pain, the pain, they are actually derived through the dependent origination on the respective causes of what we call as negative actions or the delusions. And then this abandonment or the cessation of this delusion, the root cause of all suffering, is what we call as the dharma, the very guarantee that you'll be freed from the suffering. So that is the first source of refuge in the Buddhist perspective. And then that very teacher who teaches this immeasurable qualities of this refuge, the state of cessation of suffering. So that is called as the Buddha, the refuge of Buddha. And those beings who are involved sincerely in practicing, trying to achieve this quality of the liberation, are what we call as the refuge of Sangha. So there then, because of this principle of dependent origination, the three sources of refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, came about. So, because of our identification that all the sufferings that are rooted to the self-grasping, the very mistaken mind which grasps that the self to be existing as intrinsic or solid, so given that this is the cause of the suffering, all sufferings, then the very remedial force, the wisdom of emptiness, or the wisdom which understands the selflessness of things and events, so that is found as the ultimate remedy for the root cause of all suffering. And then we see that very teacher who teaches this ultimate remedy to the root cause of the suffering is what we call as the Buddha, the source of the source of refuge. The Buddha is the source of refuge, the ultimate teacher.